This is continuing coverage of the trial of Karen Reed from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
Court, all rise, please, jury entering.
You are unmuted.
Hey. All persons have any business before the Honorable Beverly Canoni, Justice of the Norfolk Superior Court, in for the County of Norfolk. Draw near, give your attendance, and shall be heard. God save the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. This court is now open. You may be seated.
22-117, the Commonwealth versus Karen Reed. Could I have the witness, please?
So, good morning again, Counsel and Ms. Reed. Good morning, jurors. We appreciate your patience. Giving us this time actually helps streamline things today, so we appreciate that. I do have to ask you those three questions. Were you all able to follow the instructions and refrain from doing any independent research or investigation into this case since we last?
Yes.
Were you also able to follow the instructions and refrain from discussing this case with anyone since we left yesterday?
Yes.
Did anyone happen to see, hear, or read anything about this case since we left yesterday?
No.
Thank you very much. Everybody answered those questions appropriately. Okay, can we have Sergeant Buchanan, please?
You saw me swear the evidence of the court and jury in the case down here, and show the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
Thank you.
All right, Mr. Lally, whenever you're ready.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, sir.
Circle back just to a couple things that from your testimony from yesterday. Going back to the video that you reviewed from both C.F. McCarthy's and the waterfall, in total from those two videos, how many drinks did you observe the defendant consuming over her time?
The video shows 9 drinks being consumed by the defendant.
And that's between when she arrives at C.F. McCarthy's until the time that she leaves the waterfall, is that correct?
That is correct.
And if I could turn your attention to the ring videos from One Meadows Avenue, Mr. O'Keefe's residence. From the videos that you observed, let me ask you first, as far as, do you know how those cameras work as far as when they turn on and when they turn off?
My understanding is that ring surveillance video is triggered to be recorded through motion. So if the camera detects motion, which is constantly live monitoring, and motion is detected, then that video is captured to a cloud-based system that retains that footage.
And from your review of those videos, what kind of motion would set those off? Like what kind of things would be recorded from the driveway camera?
Activity in the driveway, such as a person walking through, bird landing, a vehicle pulling in, individuals, moving around in the driveway, and so forth.
And the search warrant that was applied for was any and all videos between January 24th and January 30th, correct?
For one of the search warrants, that's correct, yes.
And with respect to that time frame, what, if any, activity based on information that you had received was not available or was not shown on those ring videos?
The data returned had video that would have been captured from the defendant arriving home after midnight on the 29th after she dropped Mr. O'Keefe off at 34 Fairview Road. That video was not present in the data that was returned from ring.
There was what, if any, other video in addition to that one was not present?
There was also video missing from the defendant showing Ms. McCabe and Ms. Roberts the damage to her right rear taillight.
And what, if any, follow-up, or what, if any, inquiry was then done with regard to Ring as far as those types of videos or deletion or how those videos could not be present?
Correspondence with Ring produced information that...
Sustain.
Let me ask just first, was there follow-up with Ring in regard to those videos?
Yes, there was.
And was there ever anything produced with regard to those videos or those time frames from Ring?
No, there was not.
If I could turn your attention over to your time in Dighton, just in reference to subsequent to that later on, what, if anything, did you receive, or what, if anything, did you request, what, if anything, did you receive from the Dighton Police in regard to January 29th, 2022?
I communicated with the Dighton Police Department requesting documentation from their officers, calls for service at our request, and log notes, logs from their dispatching center, as well as any reports that would document their activity, if such reports existed.
And did you what, if any, information did you receive in relation to that?
I received a log note, our log printout from their CAD system, and I received a report authored by Officer Barrows.
And did you also receive any 911 calls?
Yes.
And who was the party as far as the 911 caller in regard to those 911 calls that you received?
It was Mr. Reed.
And again, just for clarity purposes, that's the defendant's father, is that correct?
That is correct.
And that's from the morning of January 29th, is that also correct?
That is correct.
Now, sir, if I could turn your attention to February 3rd, 2022. At some point that morning, where did you go?
During the morning hours of February 3rd, we planned to meet at 34 Fairview Road. Myself, Trooper Proctor, and Trooper DeChico arrived at that location in order to conduct a secondary search of the area, as the temperatures were turning and the snow was melting naturally. We decided to do another search for articles that were now, we realized and learned, were missing and could be of evidentiary value and aid in the, in the investigation.
And with respect to going to 34 Fairview Road, what, if any, tools or what, if anything, did you bring with you, you and the other troopers, in regard to conducting that secondary search?
I requested the troopers bring shovels, rakes, anything like gardening items that would help them to dig through the snow and locate any missing items.
And as far as the temperature change that you're talking about, how precipitous a change are we talking about?
The temperatures went above freezing, so the snow did begin to melt, and it was significantly warmer compared to the 18 degrees the night of the incident.
Now, you mentioned items of evidentiary value that you had learned of and were looking for. What, if any, clothing items, Mr. O'Keefe, were you looking for specifically on February?
We were specifically looking for Mr. O'Keefe's baseball cap.
And in addition to yourself, Trooper Proctor and Trooper DeChico, who, if anyone else, did you notify, or who, if anyone, from any other unit within the state police responded that day as well?
We requested the assistance of the Crime Scene Services section of the Massachusetts State Police, and Trooper Evan Brent showed up to assist us with documentation of the location and the evidence that we were hopefully going to find.
And from those, Trooper Brent arrived and took photographs, is that correct?
That's correct.
And when was it that Trooper Brent arrived in relation to your arrival?
I believe he was already present when we pulled up, but I'm not sure to his exact time of arrival.
And with regard to that day, what, if anything, in general terms, what, if anything, were you able to locate and where was it, generally speaking?
We located Mr. O'Keefe's baseball hat. We located a drinking straw from a cocktail glass. We located items of plastic, color plastic, and other shards of colored plastic at the location. All those items were located on the grass portion of the yard near the flagpole at 34 Fairview Road.
And Your Honor, may I approach?
Yes.
Your Honor, may I have a moment?
Yes.
And Sergeant, I'm going to show you a series of photos, but I'm going to break this up a little bit.
So, Mr. Lally, with your back to the jurors and the air conditioning on, I'm sure they can't hear you.
My apologies. So, sir, what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you some photographs, a series of them, but I'm going to break them up a little bit just to make it hopefully quicker. First, I'm going to show you 10 photographs. Ask if you could review those, look up when you're finished. Thank you. Do you recognize those, sir?
Yes, I do.
And what do you recognize those to be?
Those are photographs documented the items located at 34 Fairview Road on the grass as the snow receded through the melting temperatures that were revealed to be positioned in the grass.
And what's contained in those photographs, is that a fair and accurate portrayal of what you observed on the front lawn area of 34 Fairview Road on February 3rd?
Yes, it is.
Your Honor, may I approach?
Yes.
I'm off the seat to introduce the minutes and exhibits.
Any objection, Mr. Jackson?
No objection.
Okay. Thank you.
And Your Honor, with the court's permission, if I could just ask to publish some of these photos.
Yes.
Just one moment, Your Honor.
Sure.
Thank you. And Ms. Gilman, if I could start with photograph 7659. And Sergeant, do you recognize what's up on the screen or what's now been marked as Exhibit 468?
I do.
And if you could, just for orientation purposes, describe to the jury whereabouts in relation to 34 Fairview Road, we are in this picture.
As standing on the street of Fairview Road, we're looking at the left side of the yard. In the right, top right corner, you can tell that there is a flagpole depicted in that photograph and a telephone switch box that's open on the left side, which is on the border of 34 Fairview Road.
And if I could ask from this photograph, if you know, grass that's visible on the front lawn area of 34 Fairview Road, is that from a natural melting process, or is that from some of the tools that you and the other troopers brought to assist you in your secondary search?
The reason that grass is exposed is due to processing of the scene and having the snow being moved away from the location and then natural melting process taking place on top of it. As you can tell, other portions of the yard is covered in snow, and the snow had not, the grass has not revealed itself just yet.
Now, as far as the photographs of various items that were located on this date, February 3rd, the photographs that were taken, were they taken as they lay, or were they touched or manipulated in any way prior to the photograph being taken?
The items photographed were discovered as soon as we realized what is being discovered through the digging and excavation process. They were then photographed instantly. Certain items were revealed naturally through the melting process and the snow, no longer concealing those items underneath.
Thank you. Ms. Gilman, can I photograph 7666? And again, sir, do you recognize what's up on the screen? It has now been marked as Exhibit 470.
I do.
And what do you recognize that?
That is a clear black and red piece of plastic.
And Ms. Gilman, if I could have photograph 7669. And Sergeant, do you recognize what's now up on the screen as Exhibit 473?
Yes, that is another piece of plastic.
And sort of towards the top middle of the screen, you recognize what that is?
Yes, that's a fire hydrant from 34 Fairview Road grass area.
Ms. Gilman, if I could have the next photograph, 4670. For the record, this is Exhibit 474. Do you recognize that, sir?
Yes, sir.
And is that a closer-up image of what was depicted in the prior exhibit?
Yes, it is.
And Ms. Gilman, if I could have photograph 7672. And sir, do you recognize what's up on the screen, which has now been marked as Exhibit 476?
I do.
And what do you recognize that to be?
Another piece of red taillight plastic.
And lastly, from this batch, Ms. Gilman, if I could have photograph 7673. Again, sir, do you recognize what's up on the screen, depicted in what's now marked as Exhibit 477?
I do.
And what do you recognize that?
That is the fire hydrant and telephone switch box located on the edge of the property line at 34 Fairview Road.
Now, the photographs that I had just placed before you, have you had a chance to review those?
I have.
And do you recognize what's depicted in those photographs?
I do.
And what do you recognize those?
The property at 34 Fairview Road, left corner towards the street, capturing the flagpole and the telephone switch box.
May I approach, John?
Yes.
Call multiple to introduce and admit as the next 10 exhibits.
No objection.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Your Honor, with the court's permission, if I could publish a few of the photos from this set.
Okay.
Ms. Gilman, if I could have photograph 7681. Sergeant, do you recognize what's up on the screen? It has now been marked as Exhibit 481.
I do.
If you could describe to the jury what's depicted in this photograph.
A red piece of plastic.
And Ms. Gilman, if I could have the next one, 76.
Can you use the pointer to show us where that is, please?
Yes, Your Honor.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Gilman, 7682. And Sergeant, do you recognize what's depicted on the screen and has now been marked as Exhibit 482?
I do.
You know what? I'm going to see counsel at sidebar for just a minute, please.
You are unmuted.
I'm sorry, Ms. Gilman, 7682. Sergeant, do you recognize what's up on the screen as Exhibit 482?
I do.
And what do you recognize that to be?
A red piece of plastic.
Is that the same piece of plastic, a close-up image from the prior exhibit?
Yes, it is.
And Ms. Gilman, if I could have photograph 7684. Sergeant, do you recognize what's up on the screen and is now marked as Exhibit 484?
I do.
And what do you recognize that to be?
A white clear piece of plastic and a red piece of plastic.
And lastly, from this, sir, Ms. Gilman, if I could have 7687. Sir, again, do you recognize what's up on the screen? It's now been marked as Exhibit 487.
I do.
Now, Sergeant, with reference to the photos before you, have you had a chance to review that set of 10 as well?
Not this one yet, not yet.
If you could, please. And Sergeant, do you recognize what's depicted in those photographs?
I do.
What do you recognize those to be?
Items that were located in the street, being the black cocktail drinking straw, and then black pieces of plastic, molding plastic, and clear pieces and molding from taillight.
May I approach, Your Honor?
Yes.
Home Office, can you introduce and the next time?
Any objection, Mr. Jackson?
None, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Thank you. Your Honor, with the court's permission, if I could display some of these photographs for the jury.
Okay.
Ms. Gilman, if I could have 7688. And Sergeant, do you recognize what's up on the screen?
I do.
What do you recognize it to be?
It's the wide shot of the drinking straw being found on the edge of the roadway in front of 34 Ferry Road.
And Sergeant, if you could, using the laser pointer before you, if you could direct the jury's attention to where you observed that straw. And Ms. Gilman, if I could have 7689. And Sergeant, what are we looking at in this photograph?
It's a close-up view of the same straw.
Ms. Gilman, if I could have 7692. And Sergeant, do you recognize what's up on the screen and has now been marked as Exhibit 492?
I do.
And what are we looking at 492?
Piece of plastic next to a measuring ruler that's provided for comparison and by the crime scene photographer to document the item.
And Ms. Gilman, if I could have 7695. For the record, this is now Exhibit 494. Sergeant, what are we looking at in 494?
It's the same item from just prior, just zoomed in more, showing the detail, the black molding, the clear white clear plastic and red plastic.
Sergeant, as far as those photographs before you, have you had a chance to review those?
Yes, I have.
And do you recognize what those are?
Yes, I do.
What do you recognize those?
They're pieces of red plastic, pieces of clear plastic, and a piece of glass.
May I approach, Your Honor?
Yes.
I'm about to seek to introduce and amend the next exhibits.
No objection.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Your Honor, with the court's permission, if I could publish just a few of these photographs for the jury as well.
Okay.
And Ms. Gilman, if I could have photograph 7700. For the record, this is now Exhibit 498. Sergeant, if you could describe to the jury what we're looking at here.
We're looking at a red piece of plastic next to a measuring ruler on the edge of the grass on the property at 34 Fairview Road by the road.
And if you could, sir, using that laser pointer, just direct the jury's attention to where you observe that item to be within this photograph.
Right there.
Ms. Gilman, if I could have photograph 7705. And for the record, this is Exhibit 502. And Sergeant, if you could, again, describe to the jury what, if anything, of significance you note in there.
It's a shard of red plastic next to a measuring ruler.
Ms. Gilman, if I could have photograph 7708. The record, this is now Exhibit 504. Again, Sergeant, if you could, using the laser pointer, direct the jury's attention to what, if anything, of significance you know in this area.
There is a black piece of plastic molding next to a measuring ruler.
And lastly, from this set, from the Steelman exhibit, photo number 7712. Again, for the record, this is Exhibit 508. And again, Sergeant, if you could, using the laser pointer, direct the jury's attention to what, if anything, of significance you would note in this.
A clear piece of plastic next to a measuring ruler.
That's found on the grass area as well, is that correct?
That is correct.
Now, Sergeant, with reference to that new set of photos before you, have you had a chance to review those?
Yes, I have.
And do you recognize what's contained within those photographs?
Yes, I do.
And what do you recognize that those photographs to contain?
They contain small red pieces of plastic from 34 Fairview Road on the grass area where we located the others. Also contain a flimsy piece of circular, like very malleable plastic, clear plastic, in addition to that.
May I approach, Ron?
Yes.
Come up to introduce the minute of the next 10 exhibit.
No objection.
Thank you.
Thank you. And Your Honor, may I publish some of these photos for the jury?
Yes.
Ms. Steelman, if I could have photograph 7715. For the record, this is now Exhibit 511. Sergeant, direct your attention to the screen, if you could, using that laser pointer, direct the jury's attention to what, if anything, of significance you observe in this photograph.
That is the thin, malleable, circular in shape, a piece of clear plastic that was located in the lawn area of 34 Fairview Road.
Now, lastly, Sergeant, there's that set of photos that I just placed before you. Have you had a chance to review those?
Yes, I have.
And do you recognize what's depicted in those photographs?
Yes, I do.
And what do you recognize those to be?
Those are items recovered in the lawn at 34 Fairview Road. Those items are a shard of glass, a BPD baseball hat with an American flag, and stains of blood.
Your Honor, may I approach?
Yes.
I'm going to take the introduction to the next 16 exhibits.
Sorry, no objection.
Thank you.
518 through 530.
Five what?
Third floor, Your Honor.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And Your Honor, with the court's...
Jim.
Your Honor, with the court's permission, may I publish some of these photos for the jury as well?
Yes.
And Ms. Gilman, if I could have photograph 7727. For the record, this is now exhibit 520. And again, Sergeant, if you could direct the jury's attention to what, if anything, of significance you observe in this photograph.
I observe the shard of glass next to a measuring ruler.
And Ms. Gilman, if I could have 7729. For the record, this is exhibit 522. And again, Sergeant, if you could describe to the jury what we're looking at here.
It's a larger piece of red plastic with black molding around the edge, located next to the telephone switch box on the grass area at 34 Fairview Road.
And Ms. Gilman, if I could have photograph 7733. For the record, this is exhibit 526. And Sergeant, from this photograph, what, if anything, are we looking at here?
This photograph here depicts the area which we are excavating during the morning hours of February 3rd, 2022. As the shovel works its way towards the grass, my laser pointer is directing your attention to Mr. O'Keefe's hat that was compacted underneath the snow on the ground.
Now, as far as this photograph is concerned, does that accurately depict the depth of the snow that you were digging into and sifting through on the morning of February 3rd?
It does.
And that, again, is several days after the blizzard of January 29th, correct?
That is correct.
And Ms. Gilman, if I could have photograph 7740. For the record, this is exhibit 530. And again, Sergeant, if you could describe to the jury what we're looking at here.
We're looking at Mr. O'Keefe's hat on the grass, pressed down and compacted to a flat surface underneath the snow, which has been excavated around it.
Thank you very much.
Ms. Gilman, you can take that down. Thank you, Mr. Officer.
Sergeant, on February 3rd, 2022, is that the first time that you had been at 34 Fairview Road?
Yes, it is.
And with respect, if I could turn your attention briefly to the following day of February 4th, did you have occasion to go back to 34 Fairview Road on that day?
Yes, I did.
And what brought you to 34 Fairview Road on February 4th?
Having excavated those items on the 3rd, I directed the troopers in my office, who obviously reside in the communities around us, to make a point to travel by that location every day on the way to work and every day on the way home. The purpose of that was to see if anything else was to reveal itself as the snow naturally melts away and items could present themselves. So on the February 4th, as I am traveling to work, I diverted my typical route of travel to go by 34 Fairview Road. Just prior to my arrival, I received a call stating that there was Kent Police representatives at the scene, and more items have been revealed due to the melting snow, and that I should come collect those items. I was down the street. I arrived and collected the item that presented itself.
And if you recall, that item that you collected on February 4th, was that located on the lawn, on the street, or something else?
It was on the lawn.
Now, with reference to your collection of these items, either on February 3rd, February 4th, or on any sort of subsequent date, how were they collected and what exactly did you do with them in reference to the seizing of the items and storage of the items?
Each item that was collected was placed in a evidence paper bag The collection was done by utilizing latex gloves to prevent any transfer of evidence from fingerprints to DNA onto those items. Then those items were transported to our office, logged into the system, and stored in the evidence lockers at the office.
And each of those respective bags of items or evidence, they were sealed as well, is that correct?
That's correct.
Now, turning your attention to February 10th of 2022, did you have occasion to go back to 34 Fairview Road on that day as well?
I did.
And what, if anything, did you observe, or what, if anything, did you seize on that particular day?
We seized more shards of glass and plastic.
And if you know or if you recall, how many pieces did you seize on that particular day?
My memory is exhausted to that, but exact numbers annotated in on the bags that the items were placed into.
Your Honor, may I approach?
Yes.
So I'm showing you documents. Just ask you to look at that section and look up when you're finished. Your Honor, may I approach?
Yes.
Sergeant, is your memory refreshed as to how many items or what the items were that you recovered on February 10th?
Yes, it is.
And what were those items and how many, sir?
There was 6 items of clear red and black plastic and 14 items of plastic and glass.
Now, in addition to the dates that you were present at 34 Fairview Road and recovered items, them being February 3rd, February 4th, and February 10th, were there other dates that you're aware of that items were recovered by troopers that you supervised?
Yes.
And if you recall, what were those dates?
The dates were January 29th, February 11th, and February 18th.
Were there items recovered on February 8th as well?
Yes.
Now, as far as your direction or having, let me first start with you. So on the dates that you were there, February 3rd, 4th, and 10th, were you alone on those dates, or were there other troopers with you when you were there?
On the 4th, I was alone as far as state police personnel. There were other Canton law enforcement representatives at the scene with me as I collected that one item. On the other days, I was accompanied by other troopers.
And as far as you know, obviously not being present, but from your supervision of these troopers, were there other occasions where individuals were at 34 Fairview Road, were they alone or were they with a group of troopers?
Objection.
Sustained.
Now, as far as the items that were recovered when you were there on February 3rd, February 4th, and February 10th, did you have occasion to bring those items with you to court today?
Yes, I did.
And Your Honor, may I approach?
Yes.
I'm presenting you with a box. First, just ask if you recognize that box.
I do.
And what do you recognize that?
It's the box storing items logged into evidence as they relate to this case.
And Your Honor, with the court's permission, may the sergeant open the box?
Yes.
Thank you.
Now, first, Sergeant, with regard to the items as far as plastic and or glass that you recovered from 34 Fairview Road on February 3rd, if you could locate those items. Thank you. And Sergeant, with respect to each of those bags, they contain items of evidentiary value, whether they be plastic or glass, that were recovered on February 3rd. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And I'm sorry, how many bags in total do you have there before you?
I have three bags, two containing broken glass and plastic and a stirring straw, a broken red plastic and clear plastic, and a bag containing one black Boston Police Department hat.
Your Honor, the Commonwealth will seek to introduce and admit as the next three exhibits.
No objection.
Okay.
No particular order.
Thank you.
Your Honor, with respect to what's now been marked as Exhibit 537, with the court's permission, may the sergeant remove that item, the hat, from the bag and display it for the jury?
Yes.
Place that back in the bag. And Sergeant, from your observations of Mr. O'Keefe on surveillance video from both CF McCarthy's and the waterfall on January 29th, what, if any, similarities did you observe between the hat just displayed and located on the lawn of 34 Fairview Road and the hat Mr. O'Keefe is wearing in those videos?
It appears to be the same exact hat.
Now, Sergeant, with reference to the box of other items, if you could remove what, if any, items you recovered and seized from 34 Fairview Road on February 4th. And again, sir, just for the record, what's contained within that bag from February 4th?
Contained within the bag is a piece of red, hard plastic taillight cover.
Your Honor, the Commonwealth will seek to introduce and admit as the next exhibit.
No objection.
Thank you. Exhibit 538.
And lastly, Sergeant, with regard to the box, if you could remove the items that you seized from February 10th, 2022. And Sergeant, with respect to those two bags of items, if you could just inform the jury what is contained within those bags.
Bag labeled item number 10 contains six pieces of red, black, and clear plastic. Bag labeled number 11 is containing 14 pieces of glass and plastic fragments.
Thank you, Sergeant. Your Honor, the Commonwealth will seek to introduce and admit as the next two exhibits.
Any objection, Mr. Jackson?
I'm sorry. No, Your Honor. Thank you.
Exhibits 539 and 540.
I'm sorry. Was that 539 and 540?
Yes.
Thank you, sir. Moving on from that, if I could bring you back just one last time to ring videos from One Meadows Ave. As far as you had testified earlier that There was no video that you observed of the defendant, Ms. McCabe, and Ms. Roberts looking at the passenger side taillight area of the vehicle, correct?
That's correct.
Was there any video of the defendant, Ms. McCabe, and Ms. Roberts actually leaving from One Meadows Ave on that morning of January 29th?
There was not.
Now, as far as the videos that were not there, as far as the defendant, Ms. McCabe, Ms. Roberts leaving, the next video depicted Mr. Camerano arriving at the residence to pick up Ms. Furbush, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And with regard to the missing video of the defendant arriving at One Meadows Ave on January 29th, sometime after midnight, the video immediately preceding that, again, would have been Mr. Camerano arriving and picking up his daughter from One Meadows Avenue sometime around 11:30 p.m., correct?
That's correct.
And those videos were both present, correct?
That's correct.
If I could bring you back to February 3rd, 2022, on that date, did you have occasion to meet with a gentleman by the name of Brian Higgins?
Yes, I did.
And when you met with Mr. Higgins, who, if anyone from your office, was with you when you met?
Trooper Mike Proctor was from my office present during that interview.
And during the course of that interview, what, if any, documentation did Mr. Higgins provide you with?
Mr. Higgins provided me with a printout of a Cellebrite extraction containing conversations via text message between him and Mr. John O'Keefe and between him and the defendant. He also provided a digital copy of the same extraction on a CD.
Now, what, if anything, did you advise Mr. Higgins of at that time as far as Mr. O'Keefe's phone and the defendant's phone?
I advised Mr. Higgins that we were in possession of both of those devices and would have the extraction and accurate documentation of those conversations.
And did he seem to understand that when you told him?
Yes, he understood it.
Objection.
Sustained.
Move to strike.
We'll strike that, folks.
Now, also on February 3rd, at some point, did you have occasion to go inside of 34 Fairview Road?
Yes, I did.
And who, if anyone, did you interview inside of 34 Fairview Road on that day?
I interviewed Mrs. Albert.
That would be, just for the record, Nicole Albert, is that correct?
That's correct.
And who, if anyone, was present with you during that interview of Nicole Albert?
It was Trooper Mike Proctor was present with me.
Anybody else from the Albert family present in the home or present during the course of that interview?
Mr. Brian Albert was also present. I don't know who else exactly was present in the home. I just know that those two residents were in the room with us.
And where was Brian Albert at the time that you conducted the interview of Nicole Albert?
In the room with us, seated next to her.
Now, with reference to, I'm going to ask you just a little bit about sort of the interview process as far as the interviews that you conducted in this case.
Yes.
If you could describe for the jury, starting with sort of how many people from your unit are present for a given interview and how those interviews are conducted.
We conduct interviews always in pairs. I think I mentioned it yesterday. Typically, during a regular investigation into a homicide or any death investigation, we pair up our troopers with a local detective. In this instance, since Canton had recused themselves from interview portion of the investigation, they were not going to provide manpower for those interviews to be conducted. Thus, we had to utilize only troopers from our office in order to conduct those interviews.
And typically, obviously not perfect, but as far as the interviews that you were present for, about how long a period of time, generally speaking, were the interviews that you conducted in this case?
From my experience, I have learned that to fully communicate a course of recollection of events that an individual observes, experiences, or is aware of, and understand every detail of that experience, it would take approximately 45 minutes at a minimum to conduct a full interview with a witness in detail.
Now, sir, if I could turn your attention to June 9th of 2022. On that date, at some point, did you have occasion to meet with the defendant?
Yes, I did.
And at some point during that meeting, did you have conversation with the defendant?
Yes, I did.
And was that conversation, or at least portions of it, memorialized in any way?
Yes, it was.
Your Honor, may I approach?
Yes.
I'm showing you a disc. Does that contain an audio recording? The best of your knowledge, does that contain an audio recording of a portion of your conversation with Ms. Reed on June 9th, 2022?
Yes, it does.
Your Honor, may I approach?
Yes.
I'm about to seek to introduce the minutes.
All right. No objection, Mr. Jackson?
Objection.
All right, folks, before we play this again, please be mindful of the instruction from yesterday. So you're about to hear statements allegedly made by the defendant, allegedly concerning the crimes with which she's charged in this case. Before you can consider any such statement as evidence, the Commonwealth must prove to you beyond a reasonable doubt that the defendant made the statement she's alleged to have made and that she made it voluntarily, freely, and rationally. In determining whether the statement made by the defendant was voluntary or not, you may consider all the surrounding circumstances. These include when and where the statement was made, the nature of any conversations with the police or any questioning by the police, the defendant's physical and mental condition, including her intelligence, age, education, experience, and personality. Your decision does not turn upon any one factor, and you must consider the totality of the surrounding circumstances.
Your Honor, with the court's permission, may we publish that for the jury at this time?
Yes. Do you want to turn off the air conditioning? Is this very short, right?
It is very short, and if we could, please, yes.
Yeah. And this is just audio, correct?
So you're aware that you need another brand from Colin Albert? We're all in on the same joke, right? Mike Taylor is correct and John is pulverized.
Thank you. Now, Sergeant, upon hearing that statement from the defendant, what was your reaction?
Objection.
Sustained.
Upon hearing that statement, what, if anything, did you do?
I advised the defendant not to further speak.
Objection.
I'll allow that.
Now, at some point over the course of your investigation, were you made aware of forensic findings relating to the defendant's tailor?
Yes, I was.
And specifically DNA findings?
Yes.
And specifically that there were...
Objection.
Sustained. Yes. You can turn the air conditioner.
More raw courtroom coverage of the trial of Karen Reed is coming up from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast. Press subscribe so you don't miss a minute.